Welcome to another episode of Kiss My Mic, a podcast with a Gaysian flavor. My guest today is Law Sharma. Law, or Lawrence, is an actor, host, filmmaker, and a senior content producer for Cinema Blend, a hub for TV and movie fans. So, welcome to the show, Law.
Hey, thank you for having me. This is exciting.
Yeah. No, thank you. I know you're super busy, so I really appreciate your time. So I'm excited to talk to you today. So if that's okay with you, I'm just going to get to the questions.
Yeah, let's do it.
Is that cool?
Yeah, let's go for it.
All right, cool. So I guess the first question, Law, just to kick us off. So you're an actor. We'll talk about your other backgrounds as well later on, but I want to start with your background in acting. So really, I'm just curious, what made you decide to pursue this exciting but difficult, path, right? So tell us about your story.
Oh, man, I was raised by my two immigrant parents, but also by like a television screen, you know what I mean? So I just grew up loving movies and TV and wishing I could like put myself mm-hmm. and play pretend. I'm from the Bay Area, so that's not the biggest move in the world, but it took me a while to get out of there and like kind of break out of like a very safe life, I would say, to come out here. But I was just really impassioned by through a lot of failures in my life, I realized like, man, I'm not meant for business. I'm not meant to go into the medical field. I took some time for myself to like really have that conversation of like, I need to do something in entertainment, because like, I just felt like that was my calling, as cliche and dumb as it sounds to some people. It really makes sense. And, in the Bay Area, I would tell people, like, I want to be an actor. And a lot of people would laugh at me because it's like, oh, yeah, who wants to be an actor? But here in L.A., I could tell someone that I want to, I'm an actor and no one laughs. They take me seriously. Mm-hmm. So I definitely needed to be here location-wise to just, like, feed off the energy. But it's always been something I've wanted to do. Try as I did to find a different like career or hobby, I definitely was always drawn to this.
Lois, I'm smiling because I have a full-time job and I am doing all these creative projects as a side hustle. And I feel like you're speaking to me like, what? This is my calling. And, there's many different paths out there, business and, that's big. That's a big deal for you to be able to really make a decision for yourself. Mm-hmm. So I guess the follow-up question is, what was the feedback from the family when you told them, this is what I'm going to do?
It's not just like one explosive fight. It was a long, years long, decades long worth of compromise, story of compromise in my household. Because, there was aspirations for me to become, an engineer or an architect. My dad really wanted that for me. But my mom, as you can imagine, was like medical business, something that was really, really stable. And it didn't help that like my older sister figures growing up were going into law and then one's going to be a surgeon, right? And I'm just like, man, I really am like the dumb one in the family. But it was a compromise of like, well, what if you did, I wanted to be an animator before. And do like voices and stuff. And then my mom was like, well, what if you, instead of doing animating, you did like the business side of like what animators can do, like advertising. So I got into advertising and I didn't do well, And so it was a matter of just me kind of flunking out of college. I have to say that it took me from flunking out of my freshman year of college and taking some time off to really like have that conversation and be like, I am not happy pursuing these things. And I think just for like my mental health, for like myself, for like my happiness, even if I can't make money right away, I knew I was going to pursue what I wanted to at that point. Because I felt like I wasted too much time pretending that, that this wasn't what I wanted. And so that was a very long conversation over many, many years of just like, please let me do this, like, or like, I need help, you know, paying for stuff, you know, like, please, this is the support I'm asking for. And it was a back and forth, you know, like it was a lot of compromise over the years. But in the end, they support it now, I think, because there's like, there's results. I think they're very results driven. But there's like feedback and stuff, like they can resonate with the work, as opposed to like, hey mom, I'm acting in a web series. She's like, what is it about? And it's just like, it's about D&D and it's like The Office. Remember The Office? No. Okay. You know, like, it's just like, it's so like out of their scope of like what they care about, you know, but it was compromised. I hope that answered your question. I'm kind of rambling.
You did.
Okay.
You know, I think the most important thing is that you're happy and, you know, you're having so much fun, right? And you're you're following your passion. So that's a bit, you know, just the biggest thing, right? So that's the most important thing. So, you know, congrats on that. So you mentioned the office as an example earlier. So, you know, kind of thinking, looking back at the time when you used to think about movies and wanting to be in, you know, in this entertainment industry, do you have any role models or like favorite actors or actresses or even movies that that really inspired you to pursue this path?
I could point at things at my wall, you know. I got Tron here. I've got Hot Fuzz there. I got Shang-Chi, Star Wars, Scott Pilgrim. I just soaked it all up. When I say like I really like allowed myself to be raised by pop culture, it's not a joke, you know. Like I looked up to Robert Downey Jr. in like a superstar capacity, right? He's so cool. Like he blows me away. But my favorite director is Edgar Wright, because it's like stylistic and it's punchy and it's very like expressive. Like he knows how to convey emotion through just a transition alone. I love that. So those are the things that definitely stick out. But like I can track back to like when I was a kid, like trying to imitate voices of cartoons that I really loved, or, you know, I grew up with the Harry Potter series. So like seeing, like growing up alongside those kids, like I was eating it all up, and I loved, I don't know. I have so many influences, but then people are always shocked because they ask what my favorite movie is. And I say Old Boy, which is kind of a dark movie and has like a really twisted ending, but it like really made me fall in love with filmmaking, because I was just like, man, a movie can hit this hard and look so good and be so like charming at the same time. With, you know, I soaked it all up. I love so many things. But like, you know, I think about, you mentioned The Office, like Parks and Rec, or like even The Good Place. Like there's these new shows too that I just have latched onto too. Like, and you've seen my social page. I'm a sucker for like comic book movies and like the MCU. Mm-hmm. So like I have a lot of respect for anyone involved in those projects. but yeah.
And you also describe yourself as a nerd, or like, you know, at least you use nerd, you say you like nerdy stuff. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you your definition of it. Like, you know, what does being a nerd or like liking nerdy stuff mean?
Yeah, I think growing up, obviously there was a connotation of it being like meaning that they're like a meek person who was kind of brainy and looked a certain way, right? But I think being nerdy about something is like, I think Donald Glover said it best when he said it. It's like being a nerd is just being really passionate about something. Because, you know, I could be a nerd about Tron and comic books, but I can meet someone who's a real nerd about knitting blankets with yarn. You know what I mean? That's their thing. That's their nerdy thing. And I let you enjoy that. You have theater nerds. You have like, yeah, you have math nerds and stuff like that, but you have car nerds, like all those like hypebeast guys with the nice cars, you know, driving around. They're nerds for cars. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I think it just means being like exceptionally passionate about a subject or a thing, because it's like the best definition of it to me, because it's a celebration of like whatever you love. I don't know. There's Disney nerds and there's video game nerds, like. There's room for all of us to be nerdy. So I use it as a term of endearment and as kind of like an identifier for my identity to people. It's like, I'm a big old nerd. That's me.
Yeah. And that's pretty cool. I mean, it really shows your passion too, right? I mean, for you, it's movies. And, you know, I guess I would consider myself like a beauty pageant nerd because I know the winners from like 1990.
That's amazing. But
let me ask you, about your love for, you know, this type of movies, like, you know, some of your examples. So some fun questions. So number one is, you know, who's your favorite superhero?
My favorite superhero of all time will always be Peter Parker, followed closely behind by Nightwing, Dick Grayson, the original Robin. And then that fellow back there, Nightcrawler. Those are my top three. But I always default to Peter Parker because I think, like, a lot of, like, young boys, when they find out about Spider-Man, they relate to a lot of the different things about him because he's, like, a people's superhero. And he's, like, he's, like, down on the street and he's, like, meeting real people. And he has a lot of problems that you can really empathize with growing up. And then, obviously, like, there's different versions of him, and so you can latch on to that Peter Parker character no matter who you are, I think, because it's like a very relatable story. And I just love him. I was rooting for him, even though it's like really good storytelling when he's sad. I am rooting for him.
But you're right. He's the most relatable, like, you know, compared to, you know, Batman, Superman, or anybody else. So you mentioned Spider-Man, Peter Parker. So who's the best Peter Parker so far?
Oh, man, you're really doing this to me. I never had to answer this to anyone. No. I always ask other people and they never. Okay, this one's hard. I grew up with Tobey Maguire's Peter Parker, and he was a he was a perfect Peter Parker for the time. And then I really like Andrew Garfield. But I especially like his Spider-Man over his Peter Parker. But then Tom Holland comes around and he was this perfect blend of both. So I'm going to go with, even though that Toby's the OG, actually, I changed my mind. I think now, based on every performance I've seen of all of those boys, Andrew Garfield is my favorite Spider-Man actor. But the best Peter Parker is still Tom Holland to me.
Okay. I do agree with you, though. I mean, no, actually, I agree with Tom Holland.
You know why? Because Andrew Garfield really impressed me in the most recent thing. So, like, super Spider-Man vibes to me.
You mean with his other projects or his Spider-Man project portrayal?
Yeah, the Spider-Man project. Yeah. I just don't know if anyone's seen that Spider-Man movie yet, so... That's a spoiler, but he's amazing. Oh, yeah. I thought he was really lovable and charming. And he says, Lola. Yeah. I never thought I would see that.
Which that actually, awesome. You're right. You're right, though, because I've only seen it recently. I waited until it was available on streaming. So, because we missed it when it came out in the theaters. But you know, to your point, there might be others who still have not seen it. But... So maybe we'll have a little spoiler. I do want to ask your reaction to that, to that last one.
So, oh, man.
You know?
That one was amazing. I was at the premiere the first time that I saw it. And so it was a room full of fans. And you could not hear, like, the lines because people were just, yay! You know, like, cheering. And then
which
I remember...
Which scene are cheering? Yeah.
When the portals open up, you know what I mean? And then they step through. Yeah. But or when Daredevil shows up. But for me, I was the loudest one in the theater is when they show the shot of the wall on Ned's Lola's house. And it looked so Filipino. All the set design looked so Filipino. And I went, oh my God. I was like, I was so stoked. And then there was our little, you know, Lola Ned comes out. And it's so funny because I actually interviewed Jacob Batalon, who plays Ned, and I asked him, like, what do we get to before the movie came out? I was like, well, tell me about Lola. I want to know all about the scene with Lola because I was genuinely curious from, like, Filipino standpoint. Filipinos are canon in the MCU. So I was excited, right? And then he was just like, I don't know if I could talk about that. And I didn't know why. You see the movie and now it all makes sense. Like, it's because that's like the big scene with all the Spider-Man come back. But I remember screaming in the theater when they show, what are those, you know, those plaques with the swords on them, the little small swords. What are those called? We always had them in our houses.
Oh yeah.
A Filipino souvenir.
Are you referring to, well, there's the giant spoon. I don't know if you've seen the giant spoon.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course.
The sword. I don't know. I haven't seen that recently.
It's like I'll have to Google it, but it's like a wooden plaque with a bunch of miniature swords. Well, it's miniature swords of what the swords of the area looked like. It's like the weapons of something. I can't remember now.
Gotcha.
But
I might.
But they, yeah.
They showed it. Yeah, no, that was my reaction as well. It was amazing. I mean, and so I guess just kind of related to that as well, right? We talked about Jacob, which you've interviewed, and I saw your interview with him, and that's amazing. And also with Lola, the character, and you as an actor, and you know, being in entertainment, you know, Filipino Indian, Filipino American, right? So how does that play into your pursuit of this creative world, right? What does that mean to you? Representation and all that.
It means everything, right? Like, and the more opportunities that people that look like us get on a screen that big, the more love that there will be for the rest of us. You know, like it's like slightly selfish for me. I know that when it's just like, anytime my friend gets cast in something, I'm stoked because that means like there's a chance. You know what I mean? Like you're just holding out hope.
Yeah.
And you know, and right now it's frustrating because you don't want to have to know how to like do martial arts or have to use an accent, you know, to be able to play these things. And part of my kind of journey and identity is that I'm not full Filipino or full Indian. So I don't really fall into the spectrum of someone who could play like a Filipino role or an Indian role. I need to go for ethnically ambiguous or something I look like. I often am not enough of one thing. So the fact that we're telling our stories like a little bit more, you know, the Daniels are a great example of like really breaking the mold of what we're capable of as storytellers on a wider front. Like that got critically raved for good reason, because it's like it was a little bit cowboy the way they made it, right? Mm-hmm. It was a little punk rock, if you want to equate it to something, because if you look at their stuff, they did it all by themselves. And I think that kind of passion is not just the people like the Daniels who can get a studio to back them, but it flows through people like us, right? Who are just like, oh man, I got these like stories in my back pocket that I'm ready to tell. You know what I mean? And so like anytime that someone gets a big win, or like we see that on a scale that like it's relatable for everyone else around us, when they're laughing at Lola speaking in Tagalog, that's a big win for people who look like me. It's everything, man. Like without it, there's no hope. You know, absolutely. Like if I don't see that, then you get really down on like what you're capable of or what you'll be offered, and you might lose out hope and give up. No, I know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's the message, right? So let's continue doing the work and supporting other people, and hope that there's really more doors that will open for a lot of people that look like us, right, to tell our stories out there. So speaking of telling stories, so I do want to ask you about the two aspects of your career, right? Being a filmmaker and also being a producer. So I guess the first question is, what does being a producer mean? Like what, I guess for other listeners, what does that entail?
Ah, man, I always wondered that, like when I was like in film school, you know what I mean? I was like, what is a producer? And like the simplest way I can describe it to like my friends is like they're the ones who make sure that the shit gets done. You know, you wear the many hats, right? Like you have to be the one who organizes and plans. You need to be the one who speaks with every, you know, the director obviously has the vision, but without the producer, that vision doesn't come to life. That's how I see it. And that sounds like very grand. And like, I think that's like a good grand blanket statement for what a producer does. But like more specifically for me, it's just, it's a lot of planning, executing and doing the post. Like, it's just like, you know, it's a smaller, sometimes there's smaller producer roles and sometimes there's bigger ones. But at the end of the day, you're the one who's helping drive all forces to finishing whatever project you have for whatever client or deadline there is. That's how I see it.
Yeah. And you know, the work that you do for Cinema Blend, right? So that's, you know, you're doing a lot of amazing work and, you know, really been interviewing a lot of people from the entertainment industry, like, you know, Jacob. And I saw you interview the cast of Moon Knight.
Yeah, Moon Knight. Oscar. Yeah, and that was amazing.
Even with Michelle Yeoh. So is there any favorite segment or favorite interview that you've had recently? Or
I gotta say, oh man, Michelle Yeoh is kind of a highlight of my life. You know what I mean? Being able to tell her at the end of my interview that I want to have chili crab with her one day, because that's literally a dream of mine. And she reacted. And you know what's the best part about that, Mike? She didn't say no.
She didn't say no. So you can follow up, you know?
Yeah, she said, you know, next time. So too.
Okay. Next time I talk to you, I'll follow up on, you know,
that'll continue to be a journey in my life. But I've met some very cool people. I'm very grateful, you know, like for a lot of the opportunity. I mean, Oscar Isaac is one of my all time favorite actors. So being able to talk with him was a huge one. That was just a couple weeks ago. You know what I mean? Like, and I've met some legends, like Harrison Ford's probably at the top of my list, obviously. Like, that's Han Solo, you know what I mean? Like, and I made him chuckle. Like, there's like little things like that. Like, Jim Carrey, I made Jim Carrey laugh and he said I had nice hair. Like, these are memories I'm just gonna like hold on to forever and like tell all my grandkids one day and be like, I was a big deal before, you know?
Well, actually, I was gonna ask you about your wish list, right? So, those who you haven't interviewed yet that you would love to, you know, who are some of the names or people that come to mind?
So I'll say, like, right off the bat, like Robert Downey Jr. and Edgar Wright. I listed them before, but I would absolutely love to talk to those gentlemen. But I will say this. I have this thing. It sounds silly, but if an opportunity arises where I have a chance to interview like an Avenger, I really like, I revel in that, you know what I mean? So like, it's like, I'm crossing off a list of like, I met Black Widow, you know what I mean? Like, and so I would have some people left on that list to still like cross off is like in the MCU, like Paul Rudd. He seems like he would be so fun to talk to. Mark Ruffalo, because I want to see how tall he is compared to me, because apparently we're the same height, and that would make me feel better because he's a huge movie star.
I'm not even going to ask you what your height is. I'm just going to look it up.
It's probably a lie, whatever it's written. I'm Hobbit-sized. If you look at the Hobbit cast, or like the Lord of the Rings Hobbits,
in real life, they're tall. Right?
Yeah, they're like, they're about my height. They're like under 5'8". I'll say that. Under 5'8".
Okay.
But those are definitely on my bucket list of conversations. But then there's like the legends, right? Like Sandra Oh, how amazing would that be? John Cho, Cal Penn, like all these people that really inspired me growing up. It would be an absolute honor. But like, you're right. I've been very lucky to interview some like really amazing people, especially within the, you know, Asian American and Pacific Islander space. You know, like that has been probably the most fulfilling part of the journey, is like being able to like connect with these real legends and talk about our identity, you know, and on a platform that allows me to, you know what I mean? Like, like, we measure success however we want, but I feel like that was like at least a big win in my life.
And I think we need to see more too, right? Like, we need to see more AAPIs that are succeeding, and we need to hear more about their stories. So, you know, I think, you know, that's just, we're hoping to see more of that, I guess, in the future.
Yeah.
All right. So let me see. Lawrence, Law. Oh, by the way, do I call you Law or Law? Is
okay. Whatever's easier. So it's funny. I grew up, my parents don't call me Lawrence. They call me JJ. As families yeah. do, right? They find mm-hmm. a different nickname that's not related, but that's my middle name. So Lawrence J. But recently mm-hmm. I go by Law because it's like a little easier for people to remember. And it sounds dope yep. as hell when I'm like, oh, yeah. hey, what's up? I'm Law.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. people are like, that's a cool name. Like
Jude. That really but, Jude. Right?
But if I want to be a little bit more professional, you know what I mean? And I'm like, hello, Lawrence Sharma. It sounds like, it's like my white guy name, Lawrence. My white guy name. Sorry.
I thought you went by J Law before too, right? Or is it Law J?
I would sometimes go like Lawrence J was Lawrence like the, J. how I would present mm-hmm. myself. But yeah, like Law. The J in my username is new these days because gotcha. People kept thinking my username was I Sharma when it was L Sharma. Mm-hmm. So now I put it to Law. You know, yeah. with a J. So, yeah, it's technically the
first thing there. First thing I thought was J Law was for J, you know, J Lawrence, like Jennifer Lawrence. Yep.
If I ever meet her, I'm going to make that joke. I'm going to be like, you're J Law. I'm Law J.
Yes, exactly.
Like, there oh my go. God. Or something. I don't know how Jennifer Lawrence would react to that. She'd probably be like, fuck off, dude. Sorry, I don't know if I'm allowed to curse. I just did, though.
Yes, you are. You are.
Absolutely. Okay, cool.
This is an open conversation, mouth. You know, we're just chilling and talking about your life, your career.
And I appreciate you talk, it. It's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, you know, my hope is really just to connect more with, you know, people in entertainment, right? So AAPI is to promote the culture and to share, you know, your stories and hear about your stories. So we talked about your, you know, acting career, your producing mm-hmm. Background, you know, the nerdy stuff. So I guess as we get to the end of our conversation, Law, it's been a pleasure, by the way. I do appreciate your time. I know you're really busy. So I guess, you know, one fun question is if you have a dream project or role as an actor, what would that be? Or who would like to work with?
Man, that's a great question. I always... A dream role and who I would like to work with is all the friends around me right now that are also itching to do something. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If I had the opportunity to employ all those really talented people and resources that they have over the years, I would love to, I don't know. I have so many of my own projects I would do, but as for like dream roles, I would love, I always say that I want to be taken more seriously in my acting because I'm often like a comedic role. I often mm-hmm. fit into like kind of like the dumb guy really well, or like the, you know, the silly guy and like, you mm-hmm. know, like big expressions and stuff. But mm-hmm. I would love to play like a villain one day and like really mm-hmm. like really push my chops yeah. a little bit to challenge myself to get there. And I think that would be so fun to be able to do that. But I'll say this, my dream role or my dream project is to mm-hmm. make a sci-fi that takes place way in the future and the whole cast is mixed race because I think by then the yes. future will blend. Something along those lines.
That's awesome.
I have some like yeah. musings, but that would be amazing to be able to do something like
yeah.
a little bit more specific because I feel like that's my story to tell. Is the yeah. weird mix and specific mix of it all, I guess. I don't know.
That sounds great. Let's make it happen, Law. I mean, let's, you know, let's manifest that. And
that's hope me that manifesting. People... Anyone you listening, know? Give me your energy.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's, you know, it'd be fun to see, you know, more stories that have, you know, us really like people like us. Right. So,
yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, all the best to you. So, Law, I guess, you know, the final questions for you.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yes. So if there's other people out there who also want to pursue this path, what would be your advice?
So there's a couple of things I would say. One is that there's a cliche out there of like, it's the people you know. And as dumb as it is, it kind of helps to know people. Like, and that doesn't mean you need to have like a way in. It just means you got to be able to meet a lot of people, work a lot of jobs, and kind of gain those resources. I'll say that. I've met lifelong friends out here doing what I do. I've met people that I know I can work with well and people that I don't work with well. But that comes with my second piece of advice, is that don't be afraid to do the grunt work. Whatever the bottom barrel work is in whatever field that you're doing, you got to learn it all, right? If you want to be a director, you got to work every department. That's like something just like, I think. You're not going to get an MCU movie, my friend. You're going to audition for a lot of commercials that you're not going to get, and you're going to book one, maybe. I don't know. But it's okay, because like I think if you have persistence and passion and you make sure those two things don't deplete, not all the way, then you can you can make it. And I heed my own advice, because I'm still on my way up as well. As many cool things as I do, there's always a higher mountain to climb. So yeah, just make sure that you're prepared to do it and ready to do anything, not everything that it takes. There's a line. But when it comes to work, you know, do your best and don't be afraid to be the editor for a project, or to shoot something, or to be the PA at something. Get your experience in and use it all. Like, you're a Thanos, and all that experience are your Infinity Stones, and you're gonna kill it, man. Literally, maybe not literally. Yeah. But that's my piece of advice. Maybe, I don't know.
That's well said. Honestly, couldn't have said it better myself. So that's amazing. And so I guess, Law, you know, how can people support you?
Oh man, just like tell me that I'm doing okay. No, just kidding. Give me a call. Just like make sure I'm like, check in with me. How can people support me? Well, I'm on most social media under Law J Sharma. And so like I'm pretty active on there. I'm also obviously a producer over at Cinema Blend, so you can catch me on their content a lot, on their YouTube channel. I hope to see you guys more, I guess is what I'll say. But like those social channels are probably the best way to see what I'm up to. I try to stay as active as possible. But I think everyone needs a social media break every now and then too. I'll just say that. So sometimes I go dark, but that's generally what I'll be hiding.
Yeah. No, but that's a perfect way to end it, right? You know, by sharing a message of balance too, right? So we know where to find you, but also find some time for yourself as well. So, So my friend, it's been great to, you know, be, you know, just to catch up with you, to get to know you, and to learn about the projects that you're doing. So I appreciate your time. Thanks for what you've shared. Thanks to all our listeners. So, you know, thanks, Law.